We're going to look at a couple of verses in Romans chapter 15 as we begin our thoughts this morning. Certainly do appreciate all who are here. We have visitors with us. We're happy that you've come. As we study this morning, we'll be turning our attention to the Word of God and looking into it to see what it has to say. And what I want to do this morning is to talk about the idea of hope, what the Bible has to say about hope. And there's just an awful lot that the Bible has to say about hope. You know, when you think about hope, and then you think about the opposite of hope, the fact that there is no hope, when you think of the idea of no hope, that's really pretty devastating. When you talk from a physical standpoint, and maybe someone has been in an accident and been hurt very seriously, and the doctor comes out and says, "We just don't believe that this person has any hope of living." That certainly is crushing. Or somebody becomes very ill and they reach the point in their life where man has done everything that he can do, and the doctor says, you know, there's just no hope of this person recovering. But what is far worse than that is to think about the fact that spiritually, we know when we die, our spirit will live on. But to think from a spiritual standpoint that a person lives and dies with no hope, that is the tragedy of all tragedies. And yet the Bible tells us and assures us that as children of God, we live with hope. And when we die with hope. And the Christian is the only one who truly has hope. In Romans chapter 15, in verse 4, as was read by Max just a minute ago, let me turn over here right quickly. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, Paul in this particular writing, he just says that the things that were written beforehand were written for our learning, that we through patience of and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So as we read the Scriptures, we read them and we understand what is being said, and the purpose, at least one purpose is that we might have hope. He says there in verse 13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." What I want to do to begin with is just define the word hope. And then we'll look and we'll see what the Bible has to say when it talks about hope to help us in defining the word hope. I just looked up on Merriam-Webster.com to see how hope would be defined by man. Man says that hope is to desire with expectation of obtainment, to expect with confidence. I want us to think about that for just a minute. Here is a desire of obtaining something, an expectation of obtaining something. And we do that with confidence. There is hope. Strong. He defines hope as to expect or confide, to trust. A very similar word, hope, he says, or is translated hope, he says to anticipate, usually with pleasure. Expectation or confidence, faith. And so when we're talking about hope, and the hope that we live for is the hope of being with God forever. Hope simply carries with it the idea of anticipating that. Anticipating it with pleasure. Having confidence in that. Having faith in that. Now when you consider what Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 teaches, Hebrews 11 verse 1 says that hope and faith are hope is an integral part of one's faith. The writer says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The things for which we hope, but we do not see, that is called faith. Moffat, in his translation of Hebrews 11, verse 1, here's what he says. He says, "Now faith means we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see." I like that. Faith means we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. And so faith and hope are linked together. Now, as we consider some of the passages that mention hope and talk about hope, as we continue to try to understand this idea as the Bible describes or defines it for us, the Christian's hope, and I'm going to go through this rather quickly because there are several things that I want us to see. The Christian's hope, first of all, is a hope of eternal life. In Titus chapter 3, in verse 7, part of that verse says, as Paul is writing to Timothy, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We can be heirs to eternal life. And Paul describes it as the hope, that anticipation, that expectation, that confidence of eternal life. The Bible talks about a hope of salvation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul, he talks about putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and then he says, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And so we have a hope of salvation. The Bible talks about a hope laid up in heaven. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. That expectation, that hope, that confidence that we have is being in heaven one day with God. There's a hope of resurrection from the dead, the Bible describes in Acts chapter 23 and verse 6, as Paul is before the Sanhedrin and he's giving his defense. He says he's giving his defense or he's being judged on the basis concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead. I am being judged. Paul taught that there was a resurrection of the dead. There was that hope of resurrection from the dead. And he was being judged because of his belief and his teaching in that. The Bible talks about the hope of the gospel. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. Here Paul is telling these Colossian brethren, do not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. And when he talks about the hope of the gospel, that's the prospect before those who respond to his call in the gospel. As we hear the gospel and we respond to it, that gives us hope, expectation, confidence. And then the Bible talks about the hope of His calling. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. That is what a person who responds to the gospel call, the hope of that calling. Here's some of the words that describe hope in the Bible. The Bible talks about hope that is good. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. Hope is described as being blessed. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is the connection made between the glorious appearing of God and Jesus Christ and that hope that Paul says is a blessed hope. It's described as being a living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. It's something that is alive. It's described as being glorious, Colossians 1:27, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope that we are confident in is a glorious hope. It's described in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, as an anchor of the soul. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. You drop an anchor off of a boat and it steadies it. It keeps it in place. And the hope that we have is that anchor of our soul. That same passage says that that hope is sure and that hope is steadfast. It's something that is reliable. It's something that is firm. Now those are just some of the words that the Bible uses in describing this hope that we have. And the different hopes are the hope of resurrection, the hope of eternal life, the hope of salvation, the hope of a home laid up in heaven. Now let me raise this question and I want us to answer it. Why do we hope? The Bible talks about hope. It talks about what a wonderful thing hope is. Why do we hope? Two reasons that I'll give. One reason we hope is because God, who cannot lie, promised it. He promised that hope that we look forward to. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, as Paul is writing to Titus, he says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." Hope was a part of God's plan before time began. God promised that hope. We can believe in that because of God's promise. And He does not lie. Romans 15, verse 13 refers to God as the God of hope. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 19 talks about the fact that God confirmed it by an oath. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, we are told that this hope was given through God's grace. "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace." The God who is the God of hope, the God who made an oath, the God by His grace has given us hope. We can believe because He does not lie. He has promised that. But secondly, we can believe in this hope because of Jesus. What Jesus did for each of us. Paul just simply describes in writing to Timothy the fact that He is our hope. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope." Jesus left heaven. Jesus came to this earth. He lived among those whom He created. He lived a poor life. He lived without sin in His life. There was no guile, no deceit in His life. He left an example for us to follow in His steps. He is our hope. Because of His resurrection, we also have hope for the resurrection. You know, if Jesus did everything that I just described that He did, and He did, if He was crucified, and He was, and then He was buried, and He was, and if He did not rise from the dead, then our hope would be crushed. As a matter of fact, Paul just says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we would be of all men most miserable. But we have hope because Jesus was raised from the dead. And just as He was raised from the dead, we know we will be raised from the dead. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope." Now listen to what He said. "To a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have a living hope. We have been begotten. And that living hope is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And just as Christ was placed in the grave and He was raised again, as we place our loved ones in the grave, and as one day we will be placed in the grave unless the Lord comes before that time, we will be resurrected from the grave. That's why we have hope. We have hope because God has promised it. We have hope because of Jesus Christ. He is our hope. And it's by His resurrection that that hope is a living hope within us. Raise another question. Who can have this hope? And that very question, and what we're going to see as we answer that question is that this hope that we're talking about is a conditional hope. It's available to everyone. But man has to access that availability so that he might have hope. Who can have this hope? Those who are in Christ. Those who are Christians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul says in writing to brethren who were mistakenly or who had mistakenly thought that those who had died would somehow miss out on the coming of the Lord, he says to them, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so also God will bring with Him those who will sleep in Jesus." He's talking about those who have died. And they have died in Jesus. Those are the ones who will be, God will bring with Him. Those who are in Christ, those who have died in Christ. Person who is outside of Christ has no hope. Now again, you talk about something that is tragic. It is tragic to think that someone has no hope. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, as the Apostle Paul is describing the former conduct of those, or the former life of those who have obeyed the gospel, he says that at that time you were without Christ. And then he goes on and he says, you have no hope. The important question is, am I in Christ? If I'm not in Christ, then I have no hope. One is placed in Christ by baptism. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into His death?" Who can have this hope? Those who are in Christ. Who can have this hope? Those whom Christ is in. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible says, "To them God will to make known that are the riches of the what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Is Christ living in me? Is Christ living in you? That's the hope of glory. When one is baptized into Christ, he puts on Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." We've taken on Christ. Christ lives in the Christian. Galatians 2, verse 12, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." Who can have this hope? Those whom Christ lives in. Again, does Christ live in me? It's evidenced by my life, or it's a lack of evidence by my life. Who can have this hope? Those who have been begotten. Those who have been born of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "He has begotten us again to a living hope," verse 4 says, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled." Those who have been begotten, those who have been born of God, they have been born into a living hope to receive an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled. And Peter goes on and he says, "and that does not fade away." There is the hope. Those who are born of the water and the Spirit, John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, as we read about Nicodemus. Those who have been cleansed by the washing of regeneration in Titus chapter 3, verse 2. We'll ask that question again. Who can have this hope? Those who are justified. Those who have been made just. How is one justified? That having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We're justified by His grace, Titus 3, verse 7. We are justified by faith, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ." Justification comes by faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We are justified by the blood of Jesus. Jesus shed His blood on the cross so that we might be made cleansed, or be made clean, so that we might be justified, made right in the sight of God. Paul says in Romans 5, verse 9, "much more than having now been justified by His blood." And we contact the blood of Christ in baptism. It is in likeness of the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. So who can have this hope? Those who are in Christ. Are you in Christ? Those whom Christ is in. Does Christ live in us? Is that manifest, by the way? Do others see that? Those who have been begotten of the Father and those who are justified. And then finally, there are some things that we must do as we have this hope, if we want to continue with this hope. One, we must purify ourselves. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure." The idea there is that we continue to purify. If we want this hope to remain in us, we must purify ourselves continually. We are to rejoice in that hope. Romans 12, verse 12 just says, among other things, rejoicing in hope. We're to remain steadfast. We're not to be moved, swayed one way or the other. We're to remain firm in following the teachings of Christ. Again, Hebrews 6:19, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. We must wait. I don't know how long. For different ones of us, it will be different lengths of time. Galatians 5, verse 5, Paul says, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. You know, that waiting, I know, will be less for some than it will for others in this audience, provided the world continues. And Paul describes that waiting as eagerly waiting for that hope. We are to remain righteous. We eagerly await for the hope of righteousness by faith. We're to have boldness of speech. As the Apostle Paul talks about the hope in writing to the Corinthians in the second letter that we have recorded in chapter 3, verse 12, he says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. The hope that we have, promised by God, Jesus being our hope, we need to speak boldly about it. And we need to be ready to answer anyone regarding the hope that we have. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to have hope. We need to make sure that we never give up. We must never give up hope. It is the anchor of the soul. It is sure. It is steadfast. And that hope one day will become reality to those who faithfully serve God. We must lay hold on eternal life. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We are confident. We have faith. We look forward to obtaining what God has promised. And we do so with excitement, with pleasure. We eagerly wait for the hope that we have as God's children. Do you have that hope? We've talked about what must be true of a person to have that hope. A person must be a Christian, must be in Christ. And it's possible that those of us who have become children of God, that we have veered one way or the other, or we've failed to do what we know we should do, and we can lose that hope. if that is the case with you, either of those cases, or if one of those cases applies to me, let's make sure that our lives are corrected so that not only do we live with hope, but when we die with hope. And those of our loved ones, they can say this, that we died with hope. We can't judge. God will be the judge. But He'll do just exactly what He says He will do, and He has promised to those who remain faithful that we can be with Him forever in heaven. What a wonderful, wonderful thing, hope. Let's stand and sing for our encouragement, please.